A Gathering of Days, A New England Girl's Journal, 1830 to 1832, a novel by Joan W. Bloss.
Stop.
Chapter 11. Friday, May 6, 1831. A Jew, a peddler, came by today. The first Jew I've seen. His hair was long and his beard was scant, but it hung uncut. We didn't ask him into the house, but offered food and cider for him, of which he took only the latter. I bought of him some needles and buttons, also sewing silk. He had scissors for sale for 12 cents each, and some for twice that amount. When I inquired the difference between, such amusement came to his eyes as his whole face was transformed. "Well, now, I'll tell you, he said with a smile, "and my compliments, miss." Then he explained that when first on the road, he sold his wares as cheap as he might, so to increase his trade. But customers told of his prices, believed he carried tawdry stuff. To put the principal to the test, he made two packets of the self-same scissors, calling some fine and the others goodbyes, and found that people preferred the more costly, supposing them to be better. Since then, his goods are more dearly priced, except, he concluded merrily, for someone with sharp eyes like yourself. And leaving me to ponder the statement, he climbed up to his seat. Such a curious fellow, and likable in his candor. I hope when he comes by again, he'll not neglect to call. Saturday, May 7, 1831. I told Asa about the Jew. He was sorry he had not seen him. Monday, May 9, 1831. Again, a letter from Father. For Father, from her. And Father makes no secret of it. He is as eager as a boy and specially goes to the bridge on Mondays so as to be there when the mail's handed down from the Boston coach. Her letters are neatly sealed and folded, and with a well-schooled hand. Beside them, my own look poor and untidy. Hard, though, I may try. Cassie, known to be delicate, is this week indisposed. Tuesday, May 10th, 1831. A new pine dresser was installed today, a large and handsome piece. Using salt and vinegar, we rubbed the pewterware till it shone, then set it out on the dresser. If we'll not use it until she comes, it will retain its luster, and such is my intent. Father goes in 2 weeks' time. He's very hard-pressed these days to put all in order. It came to me, 'tis the very last time that this, our house, will be ours alone. Not ours, not also hers and Daniel's. Friday, May 13th, 1831. A cold rain and gray skies and chilly underfoot. Not much pleasure in bare feet today, especially as they are unaccustomed. After the leathern housing of winter, to go about unprotected. Maddie hops from stone to stone, rubs one foot against the other one's leg, looking very like a cricket and very streaked besides. I have to do it, she explains, sensing my disapproval. That's the way I get them warm and honest. I'll wash myself. Father, at least, is pleased with the rain, well-timed before spring planting. Saturday, May 14, 1831. Father has had a jacket made, lest he appear too rude a sort in city company. Will not your old one do, I asked, the one you wore at closing day, and still put on for church? Now, miss, he said, we'll have none of your sulks, and none of your savings either. I tell you, we are fortunate that Mistress Higham has accepted to make her home with us. So the new jacket, sewn for a fee by a seamstress woman in town. It is gray, as a sheep's wool is, The color becomes him nicely. The stuff should wear very well, I think, it being closely woven. Tuesday, May 17, 1831. Shall I have need of this or that? Please ask Catherine if... Yesterday's letter abounded with questions which Father read aloud. He seems not to think it odd that she should be so unknowing and so unashamed. 'Tis good, he approves, that she thinks to ask. How many others would? Come then, Catherine, what shall I say? Or do you prefer to prepare a reply that I may carry with me, it being a woman's work? Even Cassie, who is my friend, is wont to take her side. After all, Catherine, she explains, it must be ever so different for her living in Boston till now. I'm sorry. After all, Catherine, she enjoins, it must be ever so different with her living in Boston till now. Wednesday, May 18, 1831. Father departed this morning. Again, he drove the shipman's team, both to hasten the journey and better present himself. The wagon itself we washed with care and have recovered the seat. The case in which Father packed his clothes bulged with a new-made woolen jacket, a fine linen shirt of Mr. Shipman's, and other items, his own and borrowed, that he will wear for the wedding itself or in the course of his stay. Also, in the back of the wagon were some brooms to be traded. Might as well, and no reason not. They fetched an excellent price last month. They will do so again. Also, he took more maple syrup, and for the same reason. We do not generally trade two times, but Father's determined to make a fair impression on Mistress Higman's family, and will not appear before them without his pockets lined. He gave us each a kiss on parting. Look after your sister, were his words to me. Then quickly he mounted the wagon seat and adjusted the rein. I did my best to return his smile and waved till he was gone. Sunday, May 22nd, 1831. On this day in Boston, they married. I will not call her mother. Thursday, May 26, 1831. She is less tall than I expected, smaller even than Miss Shipman, and plainer than Aunt Lucy. Daniel, too, is plain. He, however, is rather tall, with a sprinkling of freckles, and none too large a jaw. Just below the crown of his head, his hair sticks out in a little tuft. Dee brushes it often, in nervous gesture, but this avails him not. Yes, sir, no, sir, and thank you, sir, were all he said today. 'Tis quite a different brother we've got than I had expected, knowing the Shipman boys. Later. Soon, for the first time, when we go up to sleep, Dee will go up with us. He will use the farther quarter, towards the western side. Mr. Shipman and Daddy this week helped carry up a new straw mattress and a roped bed frame. There is space alongside for a box of possessions, such as Dee may have thought to bring. Father, now that he's returned, says he'll gladly drive some pegs for Daniel to hang his clothes up, as many as he'll need. Maddie stares and stares. Meeting up with me, she whispered, "Did you see, Kath? Did you see? He's got freckles inside his ears." Friday, May 27, 1831. Though I knew full well they gawked at the window when Father's wagon came up the road, the Shipmans waited until today before they made a call. We thought you might be tired a bit from the exhaustion of the journey, and here you see we've brought you some pudding. 'Tis sample fare, but we're farming here. We're farmers here, but my sister, who is from Salem, enjoys it when she's here. Alas for Mrs. Shipman. I know she'd awaited with eagerness for new neighbors' arrival. Yet she, on this occasion of meeting, was awkward and out of grace. Perhaps she feared the Boston woman would scorn her country ways. But the Boston woman had worries of her own. So very kind of you, she smiled. The pudding will be delicious, I'm sure. Won't you please sit down? Here, let me draw up a chair for you. Unless, of course, I didn't mean, well, perhaps it ought to stay by the window's light. Our father stood there quite dispossessed, till arriving later with the others. Aunt Lucy, save the day. I hear you've come from Boston, she said, as if they'd talked of anything else for the past 2 weeks. Tell me, she said, is it true about... And all at once there were bursts of chatter, the ladies at once, at least at ease. Sabbath day, May 29, 1831. All eyes turned when we entered the church. Father looked careful and very proud, again wore his new gray jacket. She seemed shy, as well she might, and kept her eyes cast down. Daniel walked between me and Maddie, looking straight ahead. People were curious, mostly kind, but when my ears caught someone's whisper, she hardly got the first one's look. I quickly hoped it escaped her hearing, although I think it true. The day being mild, we walked home slowly. Father talked gently all the while, as if to ease the awkwardness at being so much on view. That is the end of chapter 11.